allowing us to be back this evening, that we might continue and conclude our worship service to Him this evening. It is always a delight to meet with fellow saints and to corporately worship God together in spirit and in truth as He mandates in His Word. We're going to look at the man who came through the flood along with his family. There are some serious, noteworthy lessons that we can learn from Noah. We'd like to entitle this lesson simply "The Good Ship Grace." The Good Ship Grace. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, after describing the sinful conditions that were rampant and prevailed in the world of Noah's day, the writer states, in describing Noah in contrast to the evil citizens by whom he was surrounded, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Years later, Amos would raise the quintessential question, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Noah validates the necessity of individuals to be in agreement with God if they are to walk in harmony with Him. In the previous chapter, mention is made of Enoch, who is also described as walking with God. We had read Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Of course, we had Brother Reese to read verses 1 through 7. But I want to zero in on verse number 7. Allow me to read it again for your consideration and contemplation. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." I want to, as I get started, to call your attention to a New Testament passage that references Noah. Jesus is describing the times when he would return. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, please, verses 37 through 39. Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. Listen to the words of Jesus. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus is saying there's a clear parallel between the way things were during the days of Noah and the way things will be when the Lord comes again. Notice verse number 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The party mentality was prominent and prevailed during the days of Noah. This period of time was characterized by indifference, immorality, and ignorance. Notice as we continue with verse 39. That generation, Jesus says, knew not, there's the ignorance, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It will be characterized, the times when Jesus will return, will be characterized also by indifference, by immorality, and by ignorance. The coming of the Lord will be as a thief in the night. Many will be unaware of the fact that he is coming. Let me also, as we talk about Noah and the ark that he built, let me mention another ship. This was a ship that was built by professionals. This is a ship about which it was said, in their boasting confidence, even God can't sink this ship. The attitude of those who were passengers on this ship was an attitude of carefreeness. They let down their hair, and they also, and unfortunately and tragically, let down their God. And they experienced, unfortunately, they experienced sudden destruction. I'm speaking of not the boat that was constructed by Noah under the oversight and direction of God himself, but I'm speaking of the RMS Titanic, which was a British passenger liner that sank in the cold waters of the North Atlantic Ocean in the early morning of April 15th, 1912, after colliding with an iceberg during her maiden voyage from Southampton, England to New York City. Tragically, of the 2,224 passengers and crew aboard the Titanic, more than 1,500 died in the sinking, making it one of the deadliest commercial peacetime maritime disasters in modern history. The largest ship afloat at the time it entered service, the RMS Titanic, was the second of three Olympic class ocean liners operated by the White Star Line and was built by the Holland and Wolff shipyard in Belfast, Ireland. Now, here's a tragedy as well that I want to highlight. Thomas Andrews, the architect of the Titanic, he also died in that disaster. Now, what is interesting to me is that this ship that was designed and built by professionals was not a real seaworthy vessel. Although some claim that there's no way you could sink this ship in a very boasting fashion. But that ship, constructed by the professionals, sank, and all of its passengers, except those they had sufficient life rafts for, died. But the ship that was built by the amateur, the ship that was constructed by Noah, that ship floated successfully. That ship survived. Now, nothing could sink that ship, not because of Noah, but nothing could sink that ship because of God. When we look at Noah and consider some of the lessons we learn from him, we want to keep in mind that back then, during the days of Noah, there were only two classes of people: the saved and the lost. There are just two classes of people today: the saved and the lost. We don't like to really acknowledge that reality because somehow we feel that I don't want to call anybody lost. I don't want to identify anybody as lost. But Jesus himself said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I think sometimes we want to make exceptions that certainly God will not destroy or not allow to be lost a vast majority of people. You know, some people say, for instance, the Church of Christ, which is analogous to the Ark, we sometimes refer to it as the Ark of Safety. They said, surely a gracious and loving God, a merciful, compassionate God, will not destroy or cause to be lost everybody who is not in the body, the church. When it came to the ark, everybody on the inside was saved. Everybody on the outside was lost. The church is a type of the ark the ark today. The church is a type of the ark today when there were only eight in the righteous way. Some folks say that way cannot be true because your members are so few. But Jesus said, few there be that find it. I'm thankful for Noah because Noah operated like we must operate. Noah operated by faith. The Bible makes it plain, by faith, Noah. Faith is belief with legs. This is not a passive faith, but this was an active faith. He had a working faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved. You see, faith will cause you to move. He moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house. Noah's faith was activated and caused him to move, caused him to obey. Our faith must do the same. But not only did Noah have a working faith, but Noah also had a waiting faith. Notice again, by faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Somebody said, remember, it was not raining when Noah built the ark. So he was operating by faith. He simply took God at his word. He believed God, and God rewarded his faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Noah, by faith, moved. By faith, he waited. Notice 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Noah waited. Noah preached for many, many years. I'm sure some made fun of him, some ridiculed him, some scorned him. That preacher of righteousness. But he kept right on preaching, and he kept right on preparing. He kept right on getting ready, because he knew by faith that the flood was coming. We likewise need to recognize by faith that Jesus is going to return. Jesus is coming back. How do we know he's coming back? Because of what the Bible says. I don't have any other evidence. I don't have any other assurance that Jesus is coming back except it is stated in his word. And I simply take him at his word. And the thing is, be ye also ready, for you don't know the day or the hour when the Lord will return. So it just behooves us to be ready all of the time. Noah's faith is noteworthy, but also Noah's fear is noteworthy. He moved because of his faith, and his faith caused him to have appropriate reverential fear. If he had not really believed, he wouldn't have experienced any fear. But because of his faith, he experienced fear. Fear, somebody has said, is love on its knees. Noah was not taking any chances. Noah was convinced that God's word was true. Noah was convinced that God's word was reliable. Noah was convinced that God meant what he said. And even though it was many years before fulfillment came, he worked diligently in preparing and in trying to warn others. It was because of his faith. We are also impressed by Noah's foresight. He was making preparation in advance as he was looking down the road. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope looks to the future. Hope is focused on the future. Noah had faith. Noah had hope. His hope expressed in his foresight. The best definition of hope I have come across is this definition: well-founded expectation of good. Well-founded expectation of good. Hope consists of a combination of foresight and desire, anticipation and desire. We have hope of heaven, and we have good reason to sustain that hope we have of heaven. And by foresight, we today can get ready for the future. But not only do we focus on Noah's foresight, we also focus on Noah's family. The Bible teaches a household religion. We were talking about Lydia, who was the subject of our lesson last week. And the Bible speaks of Lydia and her household being baptized. Brother Moore talked one night about Cornelius and his household. He was concerned about saving his family. Lydia was concerned about saving her family. I'm concerned about saving my family. I hope you are concerned about saving your family. I hope all of us are concerned about saving our families. And I'm not just talking about our immediate families, but I'm talking about our extended families. At the funeral Saturday, I was looking at my various cousins and other relatives, and I was thinking, I said, now we need to do something. We need to take some serious measures in an effort to reach our family members who are not yet a part of the body of Christ, who have not boarded the ark of safety. Now, my most important priority insofar as salvation is concerned, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Then I want to make sure that my wife and daughter are saved. I want us to be saved. But I have other relatives I'd like to see saved also. But we need to be preeminently concerned about making sure we are saved. That's like when you go on a flight as the stewardess gives you instructions, if you have a baby with you or a small child with you, they say in case of an emergency, when the oxygen mask falls down, what do you do first? You want to take the oxygen mask, one of them, put it over your own mouth and nose first, so you'll be assured of a ready and steady supply of oxygen. Then, after you have ensured that you're going to save yourself, then you take an oxygen mask and put it over little Junior's face. But you need to be concerned, first of all, about yourself, because if you are not safe, you can't do very much to ensure the safety of that baby or of that little toddler. The Philippian jailer was concerned about not just himself, but he was also concerned about his household. Let us live and operate in such a manner that we can have a powerful saving influence and impact on our families. Let us reach out to those in our families who are not yet Christians, who have not yet obeyed the gospel. You might feel like, well, they won't accept it. They won't be open to it. Well, try. After you have tried your best, then you can rest and relax, knowing I have done what I can. The lesson is yours. May we be challenged. May we be motivated to follow the illustrious example of Noah. Noah's faith. Noah's fear. Consider what Noah did for his family. Somehow he persuaded those boys, along with Mrs. Noah, to come into the ark, along with their wives, because all eight of them were saved. I always say those old boys had sense enough to come in out of the rain. We need to warn others and encourage others to be saved. If you're here and you're not a child of God, if you're not yet a Christian, not yet a member of the body of Christ, become a member today. You can enjoy salvation today.